Hi, I'm Tina Spangler with TLC Barrows in Keystone Heights, Florida. TLC was established in the early 90s in Colorado and has been my program for over 30 years. And today I'm sharing with you my audio book. This is going to be chapter 8 of 12 chapters, a 75-page book you can purchase on Amazon. And I give them out at clinics and lessons, so that you retain more of what I'm coaching and teaching, as well as in a PDF form to my online coaching group. So this is chapter 8, and this is about medical, dental, nutrition, farrier, fitness, and holistic care. Never ever doubt that you cannot train pain, and that you cannot win with a horse that's in pain competitively. And also, they will learn to hate their job if they don't feel good. It's like you working in pain. It just puts you in a foul mood and takes your complete and total desire away when you don't feel good. So if you've ever been in pain, you understand what that's like. So we're going to start talking about medical. You should definitely have a team of professionals that you feel confident with, a holistic practitioner, a hospital sports medicine vet who specializes in performance horses is important, not just your farm vet. Your farm vet you might use for, and they're important. They're important to know your horses. You'll use them for your coggins, maybe vaccinations, emergencies like colic or stitching up a horse, or things that you may not want to put your horse on the trailer and you need the vet to come to the farm for. But you really think about it, you know, as a doctor for you, you take your child to a pediatric doctor, you go to a OBGYN if you're pregnant or for your lady appointments, you know, you go to a doctor for your bones. It's different than the doctor for your heart. There are doctors who specialize in things, and it's the same with veterinarians. There are veterinarians that specialize general practitioners, like a doctor who kind of sees a little bit of everything. And then there's doctors who specialize. So same with your vet. Pick a vet that does sports medicine, that sees lameness day in and day out, that helps performance horses stay at their top performance. They're going to be a little bit more cutting edge on what's out there and what's available, and maybe have a better eye for seeing and pinpointing lamenesses where they're at and evaluating them. And also, if you go to a hospital, they have usually better equipment available for more instant results than having to wait for a farm vet to come and maybe not have the best x-rays or have to wait to get them developed or whatever. Now, some do have ultrasound and x-ray machines and all that with them. Others, you would get a better job done at the vet hospital. Plus, a vet hospital has a place for doing a lameness evaluation, that, you know, hard area, soft area, you know, everything. They even have farriers available at some of the hospitals that can help with any kind of constructive shoeing that might be done, or at least write you a prescription for your farrier, that type of thing. So I definitely suggest that all barrel horses have an annual exam before your busy season of rodeo and barrel racing starts. It will serve as a preventative care and hopefully prevent something small from becoming something huge during your barrel racing season. If you do go year round, you may want to consider having your vet check your horse every 6 months as best. One of the hardest part about going up and down the road is keeping a horse sound. It's not as much the barrel racing as it is the hauling, the stalling, the wear and tear on their minds and their body that can be a huge disadvantage for them. So I'm not a huge fan of hitting my horse with all the vaccinations out there. I feel like the bare minimum, you know, is what I do for my horses. I do believe in a very holistic wellness program with proper nutrition and care and minimal stress, a very calm environment for them. And I use Dynamite and doTERRA as a complementary to that. I believe in quality hay as the bulk of what I feed my horses. I feed Orchard and Alfalfa. I feed very minimal feed. I'm not a big feed person. My horses will get like a cup or two a day of an equine senior just so I can give them their dynamite vitamins and DynaPro, my dynamite foundation. So, because that gives them all their chelated vitamins and minerals and such, and also their prebiotics and gut health. I can put my Miracle Clay on there if I'm concerned about hauling stress or, things like that, for, gut health, no ulcers and things like that. I do a lot of preventative, and knock on wood, I have not had any huge veterinarian things until my horses got much older. My mares, when they get to their, just like women, we go through our hormonal changes when you get older. My mares have gone through some metabolic changes in their 20s. They can cause some issues, but in their competition years, this is what I did and is what I do with Rocky. I use a joint supplement. I'm going to go oral before I go in the muscle or the joint. But I would start, like, I use Free and Easy by Dynamite, but you could use Cozaquin, anything like that. There's been studies on certain ones on how they're absorbed. And then, of course, Adequan or Legends or Pentosin. I always say that one wrong. Pentosin, I say it wrong. But you can do those in the muscle. And I think one's IV. I think the Legends is IV and Adequan is muscle. But you can do things like that for, taking care of all the joints as a preventative versus going into the actual joint. That would be my last option, but is definitely, necessary for some horses. So again, that's why you want to have a veterinarian that you work with, and you have to know the pros and cons of everything you do, because everything, in medicine, as you know, anytime you see a commercial advertising a shot or a pill, there's always a zillion side effects. So you have to weigh out the side effects and the long-term use as well. And most of these studies, there's different things out there now too that vets do, like with the stem cell and things like that. They do a lot of different things with plasma. There's a lot more stuff they offer today that they didn't offer back even just 10, 15 years ago. So it is important that you do those things for your horses. So those are the things that I would recommend. If you're ever worried about your horse's health, you can have blood titers pulled, and then you'll know if you need to, do more or less on the vaccinations. Obviously, if you're hauling and you're, staying at places, like I just do EWT for my horses annually here because they don't go to barns and all that stuff. But if you're hauling to super shows, then you're going to need your Coggins and your health certificates updated more often. You're probably going to need the Flu-Rino added. Some people do the West Nile, some people do Strangles. I don't do either of those. I've had way too many side effects. I even had a mare that would tie up after vaccinations, Belle, and I had another mare, Briscoe, who would get like little warts on her skin afterwards. So I would do Thuja for Briscoe, and for Belle, I just cut her vaccinations down to very minimal for her. So again, you have to know your horses. I don't like the Strangles because it's a modified live, and I had reactions with the West Nile of swollen hocks and swollen area where they gave it and stuff. And I definitely think less is more. Like, instead of having your vet do a six-way, if you can do your vaccinations in smaller, a two-way or three-way at a time instead of a five or six-way, and spread them out, I think that's better on the horse too. And I always try to give them a day or two off after. I even put Miracle Clay or Release by Dynamite on the vaccination site just to help with, just like when you get a shot in your arm, it kind of makes your arm sore for a day or two, and it can make it stiff, and you can also get more tired or reactions to the vaccinations. So all of those things you want to keep considered. Deworming your horse, you can do a fecal test instead of just randomly giving different wormers, but at least twice a year I like to do a non-chemical dewormer, which is another one by Dynamite, and I will do twice a year. I will do chemical, so I usually rotate from them. I use a Safeguard or Strongid. Some horses are ivermectin resistant. Some horses are higher egg leg counter egg egg layers. So that's why doing the fecal test and getting a count of their eggs can help because they're higher egg shedders. So, and some horses, like I said, can become resistant to the same products over time, like ivermectins and such. So those are things you want to be careful. I'm not a big fan of the Quest, especially any older or weaker or even younger horses. I don't like any of those ones. I've seen bad things happen with those with certain horses, and especially ones that aren't the strongest immune systems. So my main thing is if a horse gets all their proper vitamin minerals, they need, and they get the probiotics, and they have a very, quality hay and clean water and not a super high stress life. Their environment is calming for them. You're going to have a horse that's healthier and not have so many issues than a horse that's constantly put under stress and worry and inconsistent diet and dumping a bunch of feed and poor quality hay and things like that to them. So keep all that in mind when you're taking care of your horses. Now, as far as emergencies go, oh, and also on the deworming, I forgot to mention, it's best to actually deworm with the Farmer's Almanac. With the full moons is often a good time. And with the natural products, you usually do it like 2 days. It ends up being like a week, 2 days before the full moon and after, and ends up being about a week long thing just to make sure you're getting all the worms, not just the worms on the freeway, but the ones on the on ramps and the, off ramps, I like to say. So you just kind of have to see what's best for your horse and the treatment that they need. Obviously, depend on how many horses are on your ranch, how many acres you have, all of those things could vary, how much you're hauling to different places, etc. So now for emergencies, first aid, and what to do. You should try to keep a first aid kit at all time in your horse trailer and your barn for horse and human. Mine contains a homeopathic kit, a doTERRA and Dynamite products as well. It also has, and when I say a homeopathic kit, if you go to, I think it's Washington Holistic Remedies, they have these little kits of, they're little white beadlets, and they're a little bit of everything that you can find those remedies for just about anything and everything. Fevers, snotty nose, sore throats, like Nux, Thuja, a lot of different things, Arnica, Apis. So Apis would be good for bugs, bug bites or hives. Arnica would be good for bruising and soreness. I'm trying to think. I think it Belladonna, the one for fever. There's several out there. Thuja for, like I said, with the warts and stuff. There's ones for colds and all that. Nooks is more of like a detox as well. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff I keep with me, as well as my, so I will have the veterinarian RXs with me as well. I will have a Banamine for colic. You can also use the Nooks for colic. I will also have sedation, which you can use, like ACE. It comes in handy if a horse is tying up or if they're stressed at an event. I will have vet wrap, gauze, diapers, cotton wrap, wound cleaner. I also, like I mentioned, have Dex or Apis available in case we have any bug reactions, wasp bites, bee stings, anything like that. A thermometer, a stethoscope, sterile eye wash, eye ointment that doesn't have steroids for like bacteria or fungus. I also like to have a list of the horse's vitals, what my horse's normal rates are, and all my horse's normal temperatures and all of that, breathing rates. I like to know all that stuff when I'm not nervous and when they're not stressed and I'm not stressed, kind of know what their normal is. An antibiotic type ointment's always good to have, bandages, Epsom salts, just having a really solid first aid kit is important. And again, for my RXs from the vet, I'm always going to have Banamine, Bute, Dex, trying to think, and ACE. Those are my four main ones that I keep in the barn and in the horse trailer, so I'm prepared. And I usually have one bottle a year, and just keep it ready. I do most everything orally. I'm not a big fan of IV shots, and I don't like to worry about abscesses with muscle shots, so I will do most things orally. And some of the medicines are gross, so I will use DynaSpark. It's a blackstrap organic molasses electrolyte, and it's good for the horses. It makes them want to drink water, and you can mix the medicine with that and shoot it in their mouth with a syringe, and it works great, especially if you don't have flavor of Bute, or if you're giving Banamine or Dex or Ace. It makes them want to take the syringe because it tastes really good with the DynaSpark. And DynaSpark's a great way to get them to want to drink too, as an electrolyte. I use that when I'm on the road as well. Okay, so let's see here. Tying up is something you should always treat as an emergency. It's very dangerous for your horse's muscles and their organs, and you should treat it as an emergency. You'll often see a horse tie up after a strenuous exercise, or maybe they've had a few days off but got complete and full feed and hay, and then they tie up after. Sometimes they'll tie up after a run from stress. So you immediately do not want to walk this horse as they're in pain. You can put a sheet over their hindquarters and try not to move them. Get with your vet right away. They may call your vet. They may suggest get them, somewhere quiet until they arrive, and they can pull blood and see how bad the tie up was. They might suggest Banamine and Ace orally until they can get there. But excessive stress or hard exercise or pain being ignored, or even some horses, diet or hormones can cause. But nutrition is a big deal with tie-ups. If your horse is insulin resistant, you may need a low starch, high fat feed. And it can, like I said, also be caused by mare's hormones too. Colic is another emergency you really want to consider calling your vet as soon as possible. They might suggest you do Banamine until they arrive, take away all feed and hay, and maybe keep them walking or lunging at a walk trot for a few minutes just to try to, if it's a gas colic, that might make them pass manure. I give them DynaPro immediately when I see it, and I use doTERRA's Digest Zen on their belly as soon as I see it. And that'll work good for a gas colic. But if you have an impaction colic or dehydration, sand, a twist, obviously a veterinarian's going to have to get involved to, decide if they need to be oiled or tubed or hydrated with IV, or maybe even surgery if they're not improving. So it is an emergency. It's probably the number one killer of horses. Some of these issues can be fixed easily and others cannot. So do not take colic lightly. When in doubt, take them to the hospital right away. They can get them on IV fluids and put them on a 24-hour pain watch. Personally, if my horses do not improve in the first 30 minutes of things like Banamine, Miracle Clay, DynaPro, Digest Zen, I'm immediately calling the vet or getting them to the hospital, because they may just need those IV fluids or to be tubed. So the next thing is laminitis or founder. That is definitely an emergency as well. It can be caused by too much grain, grass founder, like in the spring or summer when your grass is all of a sudden super, super thick. Too much water while they're hot. It can be caused by road founder, hauling a long distance and they're not used to it. Metabolic issues, as I mentioned, in older horses that can cause pain in the hooves by possibly being trimmed too short and causing laminitis. Inflammation and pain in a hoof can also cause rotation of the coffin bone. So you're going to want to immediately call your vet, maybe put them on ice hoof boots, cloud boots, and thick shavings and stall rest. Possibly lily pads, which are a rubber frog support. You can vet wrap or duct tape those to your horse's hoof, and maybe Bute and Ace if your vet suggests, until they can get there. Special shoes from your farrier might be required. They may have to x-ray and see the degree of the rotation and decide the way to go from there. Laminitis is extremely painful. Some can recover easily from it. And some can rotate with a little bit of founder rotation and still recover, but others cannot, and you just don't know. And it's one of those things that they even tell you if you're doing it all at your house with, you know, ice and beamers and anything and everything you can think of. I had a situation where I did everything and she still went wrong. And then the other one, I did less and just turned her out with a shoe with a pad and, you know, just did less and she got better. So you just don't know with that situation. All you can do is your best and see what happens. It's definitely a scary thing. It's just like colic. You do your best and trust your gut and pray it all works out. Eye injuries are a huge thing. So treat that as an emergency. Do not wait. It could cause a loss of the eye. It can hugely be a huge vet bill the longer you wait. If it starts with the eye being swelling and tearing up, looking like it's in pain, you can often just try to flush it with a sterile equine wash or just use warm, wet washcloths and compress. And that sometimes will just pull the dirt or the sand out. But if they have an ulcer in there, like a scratch on the eye, you never, ever want to put steroids in it. So you're going to need to have your vet come out. They'll stain it and they'll possibly give you some ointments. They may even have to hook a lavage to them. Eye injuries are, number one, expensive. Number two, they're time consuming. Usually they need treatments around the clock. And if they're getting atropine and stuff like that, they have to stay in the shade or they have to have a mask over the eye that would block the sunlight from the bad eye. And in hot, humid states like in the South, it can especially turn bad quick. So they may have to get some blood serum and flush it with that. I've seen improvements with that. I've also seen eyes improve, you know, in 6 to 8 weeks using silver. Dynamite has a silver product. And I've seen eye injuries heal with doing a little spray of the silver in the eye as well. So that's something to consider. Dental's a big deal. Horses don't graze enough now to wear their teeth down as intended. In the wild, they would travel many, many miles to graze their teeth and their heads down a lot. Nowadays, we feed their head up in hay bags. Some people, you know, don't even feed a lot of hay or have a lot of grass. Some people just feed cubes and stuff. So they're, horses are not going to wear their teeth like they are intended. So you have to find a qualified dentist. I can tell you, I've seen many dentists over my lifetime and even vets who say they're more trained in dental. And there's a big difference between a good dentist and a great dentist. And a really great dentist is going to have their little miner's cap on. They're going to be able to look in there and show you where the incisors might need to be straightened out in the front, maybe take the canines down or look for wolf teeth. They may need to take some ramps and hooks out of the front and back molars. They're going to need to know exactly what angle and how much to take off where so that it wears properly. A lot of them will do the jaw left to right when they're done. They'll also show you the before and after and let you feel it. They'll put in a bit seat. There's so much to a quality, full mouth, balanced dentist that you would be surprised when you see, you know, if they don't have the right tools, if they don't, you know, sedate the horse, if they don't do the things that allow them to do a good job, not to mention their bedside manner. Can they, you know, do they like horses? Do they explain what's wrong and what they're going to do so you understand? You can definitely tell the difference. And you should also consider the younger horses, the 2 to 4 year olds. You may have to have them checked twice a year for sharp points, loose caps, and wolf teeth. Dentists have a lot more knowledge and usually better tools than your average veterinarian for a complete, fully balanced mouth. So remember that as well. If you don't take care of your horse's teeth, it can definitely lead to performance issues. It can lead to health issues. It can even cause danger. A horse might rear or buck or bolt with you if their mouth hurts when you touch them with the bit. That could cause head tossing, lack of lateral or vertical face flexing, bad behavior like they mentioned, the rearing, bucking, or bolting, or not wanting to stop. Health-wise, they could be dropping feed or poorly digesting their hay because they're unable to chew it and get the nutritional value, and they may lose the weight, or they eat so much slower that they're just not able to eat as fast as the other horses are out with, things like that. So you may have to feed them separately as well. Especially anytime you have a slower eater, you can't leave them out with the other fast eaters or they just won't keep up. So nutrition is the next topic. The main thing you can do for your performances, the main thing you can do for your performance horse is feed top quality hay. Easy for me to say, huh? If you buy quality orchard or Timothy with some alfalfa, your horse will get most of their nutritional needs. These days, though, the way that the quality of the soil that hay is grown in, and sometimes the herbicides or pesticides that they use, things like that, you still have, you know, concerns. So my personal horses are usually fed between 2 to 4 flakes a day, depending on how much grass pasture they have. And I usually feed, you know, like I said, an ONA is my preference. My horse's preference, I should say, they like soft and flaky hay. They don't like stimmy or hard hay. They will need, and they certainly don't like coastal, they will pee on it. they think that's their bedding, not to be eaten. So a little bit spoiled, I suppose. But the problem with coastal hay, if your horse isn't raised on it, is you have to worry about impaction colics and stuff, or even free choice round bales, you have to worry about impactions or dehydration of overeating and that too much dry material in there. So I also leave out free choice minerals and salts, and mine are loose salts and minerals, and they're separate. So I have a 2-to-1 calcium phosphorus and 1-to-1 calcium phosphorus for the minerals. I have the natural trace mineral salt. And that's, you know, if they just want to get salt. And then there's the Ismine, which is a black, it's got like electrolytes and different salts and minerals in it. And they'll do that when there's barometric pressure changes. So there's basically 4, or maybe they're having a growth spurt on a young horse, or any kind of, you know, detoxing they might need. You'll see they'll go based on the weather, based on the quality of your hay or grass or the seasons. They will pick different minerals and salts at different times of the year. So I always have out loose, minerals and salts for my horse. I don't use blocks because I feel like their jaws and their tongue would get exhausted by the time they get what they need. And I don't like it combined, mineral and salt, because what if they just want salt? What if they just want mineral? So I like them separate. I also don't like them with molasses because I feel like they just eating it for the molasses because it tastes good. So I want it to be what they truly need is what they're going for. So keep that in mind as well. Obviously, we want to have, preventing ulcers. We want to always keep hay or grass in front of our horses at all times because that's how they're intended to be grazing creatures. So that's why a lot of people use the slow feeders, hay nets or feeders. And, as long as your dentist isn't seeing any abnormal wears or anything, talk with your dentist, and your slow hay bags probably are working out fine. I do my alfalfa on the ground so their head is down and their teeth are looking the way they're supposed to. Then I do my hay bags up high, because if you'll see the way a horse's jaw works with their you'll see the way that the bottom teeth unhinge a little, and it changes the bite of the mouth when the horse's head is down versus up. So that's why I do some hay on the ground and some hay in the bag. So their alfalfa's on the ground, their orchard's in the bag. If I leave the orchard on the ground, they tend to waste it. And I don't like to waste it. It costs too much. So let's see. Cool, clean water is a must, and it has to be provided at all times. So always scrub and refill them, especially in the hotter days. You may have to do it every other day of the big tanks instead of just once a week on the big tanks. But some of you might use buckets and such in your stalls as well. But the key is to keep them properly hydrated. I've never been a big fan of automatic waters because I can't track how much they're drinking. So I've always liked to water my horses myself and see how much they're drinking. I like to keep a regular feeding schedule within an hour or two in the morning and the evening, just for good mental wellness. And like I said, I have hay bags out there, or they have grass pasture, so they always have something they can nibble on. I don't force feed salt on their feed. I do it all as free choice. You can put about a quarter cup of each of these minerals I've been talking about in those little mineral things, they're mineral tubs. You put them like a quarter cup to a half cup, whatever, in each stall or shelter, and it's out of the weather and they can get what they want. I don't put a ton out because I don't want it to get nasty from the weather if they don't eat them. Again, it costs too much to waste, so I don't like to do that. And they, again, they'll eat what they need based on their riding schedule, the weather, the hay cuts, all of that. So there are times, like I mentioned, they'll eat a lot, and other times they don't eat any. So the other thing I might do too, if a horse isn't getting enough water because of cold water or sweating too much, or maybe stress of being in new places, I'll soak hay cubes or hay pellets, and I pour, I don't like to use table salt, but I will use DynaSpark by Dynamite. Is I feel is a better replacement for the stress and the sweat that they're losing. I feel that the potassium and such and that, those electrolytes are more natural and a better option than using the table salt. Anyway, so on farrier and hoof care, the saying of no hoof, no horse, it's super true. It's very true. Your farrier can make or break you. It's probably one of the closest people you work with on a regular basis for your success in barrel racing, because most barrel racers are going to keep their barrel horses on a schedule of 4 to 6 weeks. I usually go 5 to 6. Even now that my horses are retired, they're on a 6-week schedule. I like to keep that toe backed up. I want to keep their angles balanced, laterally, medially. I want to keep, I want the horse's hoof walls to be very solid. I want the balance, you know, we don't want excessively long toes or excessively low heels or under run. So it is important to keep on a schedule so you can keep it, backed up. And time is always going to be needed for transitions. So let's say, if your horse has got solid feet, you can compete barefoot. Every horse is an individual, but some might need shoes for protection or correction or even traction. I think a barefoot does have pretty good traction, but sometimes you're going to places with a lot of cement or rocks or hard clay, and you may need the shoes for the protection as well. And sometimes you need it for correction, like if a horse needs a wedge because their angles are off, or a leather pad because of tenderness or something. But if you decide to go barefoot with your horse and they've worn shoes for a long time, understand that you're going to need a few months to help those, or to let those feet toughen up. And you may have to paint them with things like Keratox. Remember to keep your horse's hooves free of thrush and white line disease. Both are extremely painful. So products like Clean Tracks can kill white line disease, as well as the, what is the name of that? Copper sulfate. It's like a blue liquid that, it's like a root killer, but it'll kill white line as well in a horse's hooves. I like the product Tomorrow. Today it's like a cow mastitis for cows, dry cow. But it actually works really good to stick in the frog of a horse that might have thrush going on in there. It'll dry it out really quick. You can add a cotton ball if you want. I just usually clean it out and squirt that Tomorrow in there and cleans it up real good. Some people use Keratox for hoof hardening or Venice turpentine. You can also use Coppertox or Thrush Buster. You can even use essential oils like tea tree oil or clove oil, oregano. Those are good at killing bacteria and fungus too. So it all just depends on your situation of what you need. So now speaking on fitness, personally, I like a barrel horse fit, but not thin. I like them ridden at least 4 to 5 days per week, 30 minutes minimum. So you can ride an hour or longer if you choose, but 30 minutes is good. Four days a week, 5 days is even better. Young horses will get more basics and drills and pattern time, but finished horses will mostly get condition riding, you know, some body suppleness and some collection work, and maybe most of that done out in the pastures, not as much in the arena. If possible, for horses that compete 2 or 3 times a month or 30 to 40 competitions a year, that's what I usually like to do. I'm not a big fan of competing every single weekend. I think their minds need a break. I think their bodies need recovery time. And, so I think, you know, Personally, I always did 30 to 40 competitions a year, two or three times a month for each horse, and I just rotated horses. But you can quickly become out of shape just taking a week off, like if you're sick, and it's the same for horses. So if you do decide, if you're going every week and you're riding 4 days a week and you're competing once a week, definitely make sure there's a day off in there for those horses, 1 or 2 days off a week. But if you're getting a full week off, you might need a whole week to leg back up. Or if you take 2 weeks off, two weeks to leg back up. Always think of it as if your horse is 30 days rest, they need 30 days of conditioning before you compete again. And a lot of that should be straight work or big circles before you do small circles or barrel work. If your horse doesn't get, if your horse gets injured, you're gonna do what your vet says for the way that you bring them back. But if a horse is sat for several months or a year, you should give them at least 90 days to leg them back up before competition, in my opinion. Work closely with your vet if you're coming back from an injury or a treatment plan on his suggested or his or her suggested exercise and competition plan as well. If you are doing like super shows or multiple runs every weekend, you might want to consider doing that just twice a month. Again, you can run the wheels off these horses. Be fair in your exercise requests. Don't be weekend warriors and run them to death one day and then stall them or turn them out to pasture for a week after that. Horses do best with turnout and they do best with daily exercise. So my horses are turned out 24 hours a day with access to the barn or a shelter. And they're when I was competing, they were ridden at least 30 minutes, 3 to 5 days a week minimum, and competing once a week or two or three times a month was my most plan. And I never ever did more than one run in a day, and I only did super shows generally once a month if I did at all. So again, if you run in your horse 60 or 80 runs a year, you're gonna definitely cause that horse to wear out quicker. So it just, depends on the horse's health and their age and all of that too. So make your schedules fun for them. Like you could have a Monday for a round pin day or groundwork day or a trail ride day. You could track cattle that day. Tuesday could be dry work, drills where you do bending and flexing and leg laterals. Maybe Wednesday you work on rate and body collection. Maybe Thursday you do some slow pattern work. Maybe Friday they're off or you just do a trail ride. And then maybe Saturday you compete and Sunday's off. But try to give them at least 2 days off a week, always a day after competition, and maybe 2 days off if they're doing 2 or 3 days of competition in a row. So, holistic care. If you've ever used, we're almost done. Two more things. Holistic care. If you've ever used a chiropractor for yourself or gotten a massage, then you know the benefits. So that is why you should consider using them for your horses several times a year. As with any profession, from a veterinarian, farrier, dentist, trainer, you must find a good or great holistic professional. You can often ask other horse people around you who they respect and get referrals. The best way to find a good one is by doing that. Things that can be improved by holistic practitioners are pain, tail swishing, pinning ears while grooming, no woe, not picking up their leads, sore backs, not turning a barrel, stiffness, swelling, sweating unevenly, bucking, kicking, biting, and so much more. Our horses will try to talk to us and when they are hurting, but we have to listen. If we don't listen, they will start to yell at us. If you use a acupuncturist, a chiropractor, you can also do leg stretching and massage. Obviously, there's MagnaWave and Beamer and chirotherapy. There's a lot of things out there, TheraPlates. You have to remember some horses are going to need time off or time that maybe the next day off afterwards. But in order to keep your horse healthy, you've got to give them that kind of care. I'm not a huge fan of using bute for horses. It's kind of like bute's like taking Advil for us. you're not really getting to the root of the problem. You're just masking something. It's the same with your horse. Now, it's one thing if you're at a 3-day barrel race and they're being stalled more than usual and you need to do some Banamine or Butte or something for that particular situation. It's just like me, if I'm doing an all-day clinic, I'm taking some Tylenol, or a 2-day clinic, I'm taking some Tylenol. But, you know, if you're doing things that are a little bit more than normal, then you'd want to go ahead maybe and make sure you're feeling okay for that. But you have to be careful with Butte and stuff. You can cause ulcers. So there are other options, natural treatments and such. You can use magnetic blankets, back on track boots, unless it's the heat of summer, ice boots, hoof packing, you know, there's magic cushion, things like that. I mentioned some of the other red light therapy. There's essential oils, there's herbs, there's homeopathic remedies. You can K-tape a horse. Every horse is an individual, just like us. What works for one may not work for the other. If it works, great. If not, try something else. Personally, I feel veterinary medicine and holistic care can go hand in hand together. It does not have to be all one way or all the other. But obviously, you know, talk to your vets, let them know of any and all supplements you're giving to your horses so they don't interact with your any RX medicines they give. Or, you know, supplements can definitely be like medicine. So make sure your vets know what you're feeding or giving for supplements as well. And this is the final part of the chapter, is supplements. There are certain supplements and medicines for preventative care that work great. Vets can provide IV or IM shots like that we talked about earlier, Legends, Adequan, or Pentasin. I said that wrong, probably again. I start with oral first, like I mentioned earlier, with the free and easy joint supplements. And I use essential oils and such, but you can help a horse with supplements for pain, for allergies, for better performance, for immune system, and many other conditions. But having a solid nutrition and care program is very important to your foundation and your success in competition. I'm not a huge fan, like I mentioned, of joint injections if they can be avoided, but I will do it when I have to. A steroid joint did not help my hip at all. It gave me a month of pain-free, but then I was worse after. My only option was surgery to get myself better. So again, it's not a cure-all for everything. So discuss the pros and cons with your vets short-term and long-term. And don't just do things because everybody else is. It's just like Lasix. You know, there's some natural options out there, preventative options out there. But, you know, work with your vet because, you know, there is a time when Lasix is warranted. It is scary for a horse to have bleeding lungs, but, you know, it's not something I would do if I didn't need it, though, because of the side effects, again, to the organs and the electrolytes and all of that. So again, all this stuff you should definitely not get, you know, Facebook advice on. You definitely want to have a vet that you trust and go with them and what they recommend and weigh out what's working and what's not. So thank you for tuning in. And next week, I will be doing chapter 9, tack, saddles, and equipment. So thank you for tuning in for chapter 8 and of my audiobook. As always, God bless and ride with heart.